Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen. So I heard a story of a husband and wife who were elderly and kids had grown up and gone their separate ways and moved some distance from home. And one day, the father called his son and said, "Son, I've got some news to share with you." He said, "Me and your mother are getting a divorce." He said, "We've been going through some things. It's been hard for a while, and it's just come to a point that we're both done. We both know this is what needs to happen, and so we are separating and getting a divorce." And the son chimed in quickly and said, "Now, Dad, let's not do that. Let me get there. I'm going to come as soon as I can, and let's get there, and we'll talk about it. This is what family's about. We can work through this. We can talk through it, and please don't do that." And he said, "Son, I'm done talking about it. This is our decision. I'm done talking about it. If you'll please call your sister and let her know." And he hung up the phone. And about 5 or 10 minutes later, he got a call back from his son. And he said, "Dad, I talked to our sister, and she's coming too. Me and my sister, we're going to be there. We're going to come. We're going to work this out as a family. We're all going to get together. Please don't do anything until we get there. I promise that we will get there as soon as we can." And hung up the phone. And the husband looked over to his wife, and with a big smile, he grabbed her hand and said, "Honey, our kids are coming home for Christmas. And it's not going to cost us a thing." You see, good news is good news to some. Good news for all doesn't mean good news to all. And so sometimes good news for one person isn't good news for the next. As it was good news for the parents, it wasn't good news for the children in those moments. And we've been talking about that. We've been talking about the good news of Jesus Christ. That Jesus came, he was born of a virgin, came to this earth. He was born to die. Born to die for you and I, because we are sinners separated from a holy God. And there has to be punishment for that sin. And Jesus took on that punishment. He took on the wrath of God. He made payment, atonement for our sin, so that we could have a relationship with Jesus Christ, with God the Father. And the good news is that Jesus did come. And he is not dead. On that third day, we celebrate, right? Resurrection Sunday. On that third day, he rose from the grave. And so we have victory over sin. We have victory over death. And we have life and life abundant. And this is the good news that the angels were proclaiming to the shepherds, and that the scriptures proclaim to humanity, that Jesus Christ is alive, that Jesus Christ made a way where there was no way. And God's desire is authentic and joyful praise of Jesus Christ among all people. I'm going to say that again. God's desire is authentic and joyful praise of Jesus Christ among all people. And so we've looked to the scriptures and we've seen this Christmas story through different lenses, different people's points of view. We have seen it through the lens of Mary, through the wise men, through Joseph, and yes, even the big red dragon. You have to go back and listen to that one, right? And today, we're going to look at the Magi. We're going to find our place in God's word in Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to look at the story of the Magi, or commonly known as the wise men. And so if you find your place in God's word, if you'll please stand as we read from Matthew chapter 2. It'll also be on the screen. Picking up in verse 1, we're going to go through verse 12. A reading from the word of God, Matthew chapter 2. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, you by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. And then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for your truth. And God, I pray that you would make us into the men and the women that you have called us to be. God, would you give us what we don't have? Would you prompt us, God, to be the men and the women you have designed us to be as we walk in obedience to your word and truth? Speak to us individually, God, and corporately, God, that we would be better together, be united because of your word, your gospel, your truth. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So I've got 4 points that I want to give you, 4 points, and then I'm going to give you some warnings, and I'm going to give you some application, and I'm going to send you home. But 4 points that I want us to see that I believe we find here in the text to encourage us as believers in Christ of how to walk in obedience to his word, to his truth, is one, the first thing I want us to see is the disruption. We see a disruption as we look into this Christmas story, as we look to the story of the Magi, right? These men would have been some kind of scientists, some kind of scholars, theologians that studied, right, the atmosphere, the stars, the signs, and with a bigger purpose of knowing or believing that there's something else out there. There's a reason behind these signs and these things. And we see a disruption in their life as the star of Bethlehem appears to them. We see a disruption because we know of their journey. As we study their lives, we don't know a lot about them, but they came from the east. And scholars would believe that they traveled somewhere maybe between 800 and 900 miles following this star. At a very minimum, they believe maybe 40 days at a very minimum, but maybe even to over a year, close to 2 years of travel that they would have traveled finding out what does this star mean? And could you imagine having to pack for that? Could you imagine, right? Some of us, when we pack for like 1 week for a vacation, the beach, the mountain, somewhere, it's like you pack the whole, like it's work, right? It's like it's exhausting. You're packing and then you're unpacking. And then before you know it, you got to pack again, right? Could you imagine having to pack for who knows how long? For all of this time. So there's a disruption into their lives. I mean, could you imagine what the wives were thinking when the husbands are out there packing all this stuff? Now, all of a sudden, they start taking their treasures. Whoa. What are you doing? Like, what kind of trip is this? I thought it was just a guy's trip, right? I thought it was a business trip. And all of a sudden, like packing more and more. Like, what would have it taken for them to pack, to haul all this stuff? Tradition believes that there was three. But it seems that there would be more than that, right? It seems that there would have been maybe even a caravan. We don't know. 3 or 30. But there was enough to not just disrupt their lives, but also to disrupt Herod. The scripture says he was deeply troubled with this disruption, right? As they come and they're asking, not if there's been born a king, but where is this king that has been born? We see them exercising this faith, this trust, this belief that this star means something. And they've bet kind of their whole life on it. They're all in with this disruption. We think of disruptions and we think, man, they're not good. But I think about a disruption in my life in 2007 when I was on a mission trip. And I thought I was just going and serving and doing the will of God, right? I grew up in the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church, doing everything that they do. And I believed I was working my way right to heaven, right? But there was a disruption when someone said, hey, are you going to heaven? How do you know? And they said, well, that's not how it works. When I began to talk about all that I did, how faithful I was to the church and all my works and all these things, and they said, that's not how it works. And there was a disruption in my heart, a disruption in my walk with what I thought I was doing in my religion and the things that I was pursuing. But like point number two, I'm so thankful that they gave a declaration, right? There was a declaration that we see in the scripture as they inquired, what does this mean? Where is this Messiah? And where did God bring the Magi? Brought them to the word. The prophet said, God's word says, in Bethlehem, that's where he'll be. The disruptions in our life that God brings our way is to lead us to his word. His word that's living and active. His word that gives us the truth. It's God's word that will always point us to who? Jesus Christ, that's right. God's word, so this disruption in my life, the disruptions in the Magi's life, right, brought them to the word, because these men that questioned my faith, questioned if I was going to heaven and how do I know, they didn't give me their thoughts, they didn't give me their opinions or their feelings, but they said, hey, let's open up the word of God. Let's open up the word of God, and we walk through Matthew. And God's truth revealed to me my need for Jesus. That what Jesus did when he paid that price on the cross, right, it counted for me. And it's a free gift that I can receive. They pointed me to Christ. The word points us to Christ. We see here, right, the disruption pointed them to the word, and the word then pointed them to Christ. And that's why we have a church-wide reading plan. Every year, we walk through the scriptures because it is what is our guide. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's the word of God that's living and active. We need it. There's no substitute, right? Warren Wiersbe said that the way we treat the word of God is the way we treat our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the word. As we read the scripture, as we understand. And the way we treat the word is the way we treat our relationship. If we say we love Christ, but we never open the word. If we never open and talk to him and allow him to speak to us, if we never do that, do we really love him? And that's why we are so, so passionate about reading the word of God. And for the word of God to be read. And for the word of God to speak to us, to minister to us. And so we see a disruption. In that disruption, King Herod didn't like the good news. He proclaimed that he did. He said, yeah, this is good. Hey, let me know so I can worship him too. But we see he was scheming. We see as we read the scriptures that he was looking to kill this king. And we see the religious leaders. They're able to point to the scriptures. They're able to point to the word of God. They're able to point to his birthplace. But that's all they did. They never acted upon that. But as the Magi, right, as these Gentiles from East that have been traveling weeks and months on this journey, they continue to faithfully walk this out, continuing to follow where God is leading them. These disruptions, right, allowing them to find the word of God. And from the word of God, what happens? We see the devotion. We see here, right? We see that in verse 9, it says, after hearing the king, they went their way. And the star which they had seen in the east, it went before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell to the ground and worshiped him. And opening their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so we see that pattern, right? God disrupts their lives. God leads them to the word, and the word leads them to Christ. And we see their devotion, right? They continued to walk this out. They continued to press forth through this journey, through this trial, through wherever God was leading them, and disruptions in their life. And the word of God gave them direction, and it led them to Christ. And there they see, we can see the devotion. Now it leads them to Christ, but if we take a step back, it's a little bit of a weird scene. Because they first traveled to where? Jerusalem, which is where the temple is, which is where they should probably find the king. But they don't, do they? They don't find him in the temple. They don't find him in this place of royalty with a red carpet. They don't find him surrounded with prominence and gold and position and power. But they find this little child, toddler age maybe, with a young mother, a poor mother. And it says nothing about Joseph. Was he shopping? Was he, we don't know, right? But there they find him. They find the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And a lot of times, if you're like me, we kind of process things in our mind. We kind of play out things of how they're supposed to go and what it's supposed to look like. But time and time again, we see that God works in mysterious ways. We see the way that God is working and revealing himself through a star, right, and through the word. And then they wind up in this little house with this poor, young mother and this child. And what do? They fall before him. They fall to the feet of Jesus. They fall to the feet of this child, and they cry out in worship. They prostrate themselves to the ground in worship and praise God. And when we see Christ for who he is, as he is holy, 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 and we understand how undeserving we are, that is our only response. That is our correct response, to fall at the feet of Christ and to praise him, to worship him, to say, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. I am a man of unclean lips, as Isaiah would say, right? I have an unclean heart. I'm a sinner. I'm first of all, right? I'm undeserving of your grace and of your love. And it does something when we see Christ for who he is, the devotion, the love, the worship, the praise that comes alive in the heart of a believer is like no other. Have you experienced that? Have you experienced a whole heart of devotion and praise to our King, to our God? Because he offers that to you. He offers that, right? That is our posture of humility, of praise, of worship. But they don't stop there, do they? What happens as they fall on their face and at the feet of Christ, then they start opening up their treasures. They give of their gift. They give of their best. You know, I believe it was probably their part of their retirement and like and all this that they had, their inheritance, they're giving it to the King. They're giving it to this baby. It doesn't make sense. And following Christ doesn't always make sense. It doesn't always make sense when you're giving and serving, like going on mission trips and spending thousands and thousands of dollars to go, right, just to get there. But we have a precious, right, we have a gift, right, that no money can ever buy, that cannot be purchased, right? Silver and gold that we do not have, but what we have, we give to them. Right, you can't put a price tag on someone's salvation, on the gospel message. And that's why we do it. Because it came to us on the way to someone else. And so we see this heartfelt devotion, right? This good news that came to them. It was great news, right? And they fall on their face to the ground to worship the King, and they extravagantly, generously, wholeheartedly give to them. Gives to the King of Kings, gives to Jesus their best. And guys, that's what God desires, and that's what God deserves, is our best. May we never give him our leftovers. Man, God gave us his best when he gave his only begotten son to be born so that he would die in our place. It says there's no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God's only begotten Son, died for you and I to free us from our sin, to free us from our debt, from our guilt, from our shame, and to give us life and life abundant. And as he rose on that third grave, he gave us and gives us and offers to us the freedom of sin and the freedom of death, that we can have life and life abundant in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if that's God's desire, is for authentic, joyful praise of Jesus Christ among all people, have you experienced that? Have you experienced the great joy that Jesus Christ has extended and offers to us? There's three warnings. Warning number one is opposition. Our lives, the throne of our lives, the throne of our hearts, the different areas of our life, right? That the gospel of Jesus Christ is in opposition of every throne of our lives. What do I mean? Every part of our life is to be surrendered to Christ. We are to be on no throne of our own lives, right? Whether that's our finances, whether that's our talents, our time, whether that's our goals or our ambitions, whatever that looks like, God is and does desire to be king of every single part of our life, right? That's why King Herod was so troubled, because there was another king that was a threat to his throne. And we see that he was scheming to kill this king. And he tried, as we continue to read through Matthew 2, that he tried to kill baby Jesus. But God continued to have his hand on him and continued to save and continued to provide for Jesus. And we know that Jesus had to live, part of God's plan, but we see that there was opposition, and that King Herod opposed him. Though with his confession, he said, hey, let me know so I can worship him. We knew he was in opposition as we continued to read the story. The next two warnings are kind of two sides of the same coin, apathy and indifference. As we look to the religious leaders who knew the word, who had the word, who would have known and understood because they gave the guidance to the Magi to go find the king, we see these religious leaders became indifferent and apathetic. And then eventually, as we read at the end of the scriptures, they too directly opposed Jesus Christ and put him to death. But we see the indifference, right? They knew it, they proclaimed it, they shared it, but yet they never obeyed it, right? They had their own agenda, they had their own details or their own plans for their lives and what they wanted to do. Though the very ones that should have been worshiping this king were indifferent and apathetic to what God was doing in the message. And so we too must be careful, because we can be found opposing Jesus Christ as we desire to take hold of things in our lives and say, God, yeah, I trust you with these, but these things are mine. Or I want to hold on to certain things. Or maybe there's unconfessed sin. And when there's unconfessed sin, there's this undealt with turmoil or grief or unforgiveness in our life, we disrupt the connection and we grieve the Holy Spirit. We disrupt the relationship that we have with God as we hold on to grudges and unforgiveness, or there's unconfessed sin in our lives, and that makes us cold and can make us distant and become apathetic or indifferent to what God is trying to reveal to our lives. And in our time of response, and even now, like, confess those things to God. allow him. He paid for them, right? That's why he died, to set us free from those things, to lay him at his feet. And it's my heart's desire that some of you, some of us will be freed from those things as we respond correctly to God. And there's other things, right? There's other things about like church hurt. We get hurt in church and we become cold and distant and apathetic to the body of Christ because of things that have happened and so on and so forth. But these were some that stood out to me when I thought about that. And as we see that in the life of the scribes, these religious leaders, and Herod himself. Now, three applications I want to leave you with. The first one that I want us to see as we see the scripture, or the first thing that I want you to do as we looked at the life of the Magi, right? That we pursue Christ passionately. The first application, wherever you are, right? Just as we read in Romans, that this new life, this life that we have in Christ, right? This life is about taking steps of obedience, of pursuing Christ. It's not our salvation and baptism. It's not a finish line, but it's the starting line. We continue to walk, to pursue him, and to pursue him passionately with all of our heart, being all in to pursue Jesus Christ, to pursue God the Father. And the only way we can pursue that is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. We first and foremost have to understand if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the starting line. Placing our full weight, all of our trust in Jesus Christ. And then from there, it's steps of obedience, like baptism. Maybe some of you today, that's what you need to do is follow him in baptism. We'll go in again. Like if that's where God's leading you, the water's kind of warm, but it's here, right? And we can walk in. What a great way to start, to end the new year and start the new, right? End the old year and start the new year in baptism and obeying God. But we walk in that obedience. And how do we passionately pursue him? Again, it's through the word of God. It's through his word. In his word, he reveals the will, his will for our lives. It's not lost, it's right here. We passionately pursue him and through prayer. And as we read his word, guys, as we read it, this is where you come alive. You obey it. You live it out. You have weird and difficult and awkward conversations when you share your faith, when you share your testimony, when you share the gospel, when you pray for that stranger, when you pray for your meal and you pray for your server at the meal, when you live out and obey it, because it goes against our nature. To walk in humility, to walk in obedience to the Lord, but that's where you come alive. When you walk through the scriptures with Christ. And listen, there's no substitute for this, right? There's no magic pill for this pursuit, for this relationship, but it's time. Just like it took a long journey and a journey for these Magi to travel, right? It's a journey. It's a daily, sometimes minute by minute, hour by hour journey. You win the morning with Christ. And then you take the next step and you win the afternoon. And then you win the evening and you get up and you do it again. But we have to do that, right? In his word. That's where we're ministered. That's the living, active word of God. It's in his word. And through worship, as we read his word, we understand him more. And when we understand him more, we worship him more. Wholeheartedly, we understand him. The grace comes alive, right? The salvation, the forgiveness. We're reminded of who we were and now who we are and whose we are. And it brings us into a time of worship. And then through prayer and obedience to him. And so pursue Christ passionately, whatever that looks like for you in your life. Pursue him passionately. And when you do that, point number two, or application number two, is to partner with others. You're created to do this in community. You can't do it alone. You won't do it alone. You were created in community and for community. And so find a small group. Find a serve group. Sign up to go on one of the mission trips, whatever that looks like. Serve with WMU, with Brotherhood. Get accountability. You need to have people in your corner that know when things are off. You need to have people in your life know your struggles, to know how to pray for you intimately and personally, to get that gets below the surface, that you can spill your heart, that you can cry with, right? That you can cry with, that you can do life, real fellowship together. But we're created for community, and you need, and I need, we need community. And so partner with others, right? Just like the Magi went, I'm sure they had some difficult moments along the way, right? With this long journey, right? Going through life, right? I'm sure there were some difficult moments. And we know that our different strengths and different weaknesses, they help and complement, right, each other and encourage each other. And we're created for that. So whatever that looks like, get in a small group. If you haven't been on a Wednesday night, in a Sunday school, and maybe you need to rise up and say, I'm gonna be a leader. And I'm gonna call in a couple men or a couple women, right? And I'm gonna call them in. We're gonna have a small group. And we're gonna gather around the word of God, and we're gonna discuss it and allow that to minister and hold each other accountable. And be men and women of the word. And then present your best. Present your best. As we see the Magi presented their best. They didn't give leftovers, but man, they gave it all. Their blood, sweat, and tears, right? They gave everything to the king. As they postured, right, in submission to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as a little toddler, right there in those moments, as they gave of their treasures, they gave of their gifts to the king. We too, God has blessed us. God has given us many gifts and talents. And most importantly, our time to give to him for his kingdom. Is he worth it, church? He is. Then let us do that. Let us give radically to present our lives, everything. Right? And Pastor Jason's been working on something. It's a fasting document. We've went through some of this before and encouraged the church at times if God's leading you that way. But maybe that's one of the greatest things for us, right? To deny ourselves some of the fleshly pleasures in life. To deny ourselves some things so that we can pursue Christ a little more fully, a little more intimately. Go through a little bit of a struggle and a little bit of pain that points us a little bit closer, a little more intimate with Christ. And so you'll see some handouts as you leave. There's also some that'll be going through in a digital form. But see and prayerfully consider what God is doing and how he's moving in and through your life and what he's calling you to do to passionately pursue him, to do this in community with others and for you to present your best. Worship, praise, surrender, and the sacrificial offering of our lives is the only proper response to the coming of our Savior. How will you pursue Christ more passionately this year? And the first and foremost, the starting point, right, is to know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, if you've never placed your full trust and weight in Jesus Christ, knowing that what he did for you, living a sinless life and dying a sinner's death, dying on the cross to make payment for our sin, and rising on that third day to give us victory over sin and over death, if you've never placed your full trust, turning away from your sin, turning away from your life, and fully surrendering your life to Christ, today is the day of salvation. You can call on him. You can call on the name of Jesus and he will save you. And maybe you have, but maybe you've grown tired, or maybe even cold or indifferent. Maybe there's unconfessed sin in your life. Whether here, whether there at your seat, confess those things to the Lord. The scripture says if we confess our sin, that he is faithful and just, right, to forgive us, to cleanse us, to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we know that his mercies renew every day. That's good news. That's great news. Is the good news of Jesus Christ, is it great news to you? Has the good news become old news in your life? Ask God to refresh to burden your heart, to renew your heart, your spirit, to love him, to pursue him, to know him, and to make him known. I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. And as we come into a time of response, I want you to see this last point. The last point, point number four. Let's see. Verse 12, it says, having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, it says the Magi left from their own country by another way. Those that come to Christ in a genuine, authentic way, transformation and change is inevitable. Just like the Magi came as they were, they came on their journey, but they left another way. When we come to Christ as we are, Jesus Christ gives us a new heart. We are made new in Christ. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone's in Christ, they are a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, the new has come. And so if there's never been change in your life, I would have to say there's no Christ. I can point back to 2027, to a dining room in Costa Rica where that change in my life began. And each day, I still need him. And each day, he's still working on me. I'm not yet where I am, where I want to be, and where I hope to be, but I'm not where I was. Has there been change in your life? Is God working in your life? Continue to pursue him. Just like the Magi, they left another way. Man, there's some things that maybe you need to leave and you need to go another way this new year. You need to go another way today and start today and find accountability and find those relationships and pursue Christ passionately. See what he will do. Is he worth it, church? Amen. He is. He's worth it. May we do that. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for this time to gather with you. And as we go into a time of response, I'm going to ask for everyone to please stand. I'm going to pray for you. And guys, I ask that you would respond to Christ, you'd respond to God, and not to man.